God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Great week. Vacation Bible School this week. We had Noah's Ark as our theme, and the children learned about Noah and also about Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as a result, praise be to God. Welcome to have you here today. And also, we have about five or six of the children from this week's Bible School that would like to be baptized, and so we're hoping to do that within the next week or so, and I'm going to talk after the service with some of them. And as children are on our minds this week, or have been for most of us, I'd like to talk today about being a child of God. And rather than look down on them as a lot of cultures and people do, Jesus points us in another direction. And let's take a look at that today in Matthew chapter 18. Where we'll begin in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So rather than looking down on children, Jesus invites us to look up to them, if you will, as an example for us to imitate, a goal for us to reach. And today I'd like to talk with you about what this means when Jesus says, unless you turn and become like a child, like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is this important for us? Well, would you like to hear a little Greek? It's all Greek to me, all that sort of thing. Well, Matthew chapter 18, I'll read this verse 3 to you in the Greek, at least part of it here. Well, Kai apen, and he said, "Amen lego humin. Truly I say to you, aeon me, unless strafeta, unless you turn, kai genestha, unless you turn and become hosta paideia, like little children, paideia, u me es eltheta, you will never enter ace into tain basileon ton uranon, into the kingdom of heaven." Now, the reason I did that in Greek, not only is it kind of pretty to hear what it actually sounded like, but the grammar here says, "ou me," namely, that's saying, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, unless you turn become like a child. What does that mean when we have a double negative in English? I ain't going nowhere. Well, when you say two negatives, usually it negates it, and in reality, it would make it a positive. You are going somewhere. But in Greek, when you have a negative and a negative, it supercharges it. In other words, Jesus isn't just saying, you will not enter the kingdom. He says, you will not, that is, never, that is, in no wise ever enter the kingdom of heaven unless you turn and become like children. Pretty strong. So we're going to talk about this today. What does it mean, then, to become like a child, to receive it as such? Well, does it mean then that we're to exalt everything about children? Any parents out there want to do that who've had little ones? Children can be selfish sometimes. They love candy. You can get them to do anything with that. If you want a toy, do you go up and say, "Please, may I borrow your toy for a few minutes?" No, you take the plastic hammer and bop her on the head until you get it. And then, surely, when you argue over whose toy it is, you don't get your way and you throw a tantrum. These kinds of things aren't what God exalts in little children, because God wants us in every way actually to be mature adults in the faith. But what does it mean then that we should turn and become like little children? Otherwise, you will never in no wise ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, let's take a look at the rest of that verse. The next part of it reads, it says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4, "Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." So what does it mean then for us to become like children? Jesus says, humble yourselves. You know that pride gets in the way more than anything else in terms of receiving the kingdom of heaven? Why? Because God means to give it to us as a gift. But pride gets in the way. It says in Matthew chapter 21, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, and have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" In other words, adults a lot of times look down on children, are indignant. Why? Because they're proud. Because their hearts have gotten cold over time. And as is a sinful heart's custom to do, it looks down upon other people. Jesus exalts the hearts of children. And that we would humble ourselves to a low estate, that we might have a heart like they do, that is supple and malleable and teachable and able to be shaped. As it says in Deuteronomy 32, "Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers upon new grass, and like abundant rain upon tender plants." This week, it seemed like that with the Vacation Bible School. Children soaked it up. But what happens is when you get older, your hearts in this cold world tend to freeze up and do not respond to the word. And it becomes harder and harder to find inroads into a heart. For example, yesterday I did a wedding on the beach. And on my way up from the beach, there are actually three weddings. I got down and had to figure out which one I was officiating at. And on my way up from the beach, you know, everybody else there is scantily clad. I think they ought to wear a few more clothes personally, but here I am. I got this on and clothes under that, enough to clothe half of the beach there. And two boys, maybe 6 years old, came running up to me on the boardwalk, and they looked at me like this. They said, one of them said to me, "Are you God?" And I said, "No, but I work for him." And I said, "Do you know God?" And they said, "No, we don't know God." I said, I am sent by him to preach about his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you know about him?" "No, we never heard about him. Never heard his name. I couldn't believe it." And so I started to talk with them, and they were willing to hear, but then their dad came running up and said, "You boys get down here," basically. I think it was not so much that they were running away, but that they were talking with a preacher. Maybe was disturbing to him. But you know, young hearts are willing to hear. Young hearts are humble enough to say, "Teach me, and let me receive something from you." But the older we get, the more the look is like this. "Yeah, I get the pastor over there. Yeah, I'm not going to take what he's saying," you know? And it takes a lot of battering and work and prayer to get into the heart, whereas into the heart of children. That's why I believe Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Don't hinder them from coming to me. The kingdom belongs to them. Now, children don't always act humble, do they? A lot of times, they give off the impression, "I'm in charge. I'm going to make my mommy and daddy do what I say, because the world revolves around me. I'm the king." It's all part of the Adam sinful nature we all got. But you know what? Children, even though they put on the show, ultimately they all know one thing, that everything they need in life has to come to them as a gift from above. They know that they can't feed themselves, support themselves, keep themselves safe in the world, even though they want to boss you around the living room. And so also Jesus is saying, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Humble ourselves to acknowledge that every good gift, namely salvation in the kingdom, has to come down to us as a gift from above. And with the heart of a child, we'll receive it like we're supposed to, namely as a gift. Pride won't let you do that, but a humble heart will. Let's read about this gift God would give us. He says, notice the number of times this happens in Romans 5, the word gift. "But the free gift is not like the trespass of Adam. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace in the one of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effect of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What does God want you to receive today as children? The free gift of righteousness. Your pride says, I'll get into heaven by my own righteousness, thank you. And God says, you will in no wise, ever, in any sense, under any circumstances, enter into heaven like that. You must turn and become like a child and receive it like a child in humility. And the greatest is the humble one. And you'll receive, by faith in me, the free gift of righteousness. And through that, you will reign. That means like a king. You will rule. You will be kings. You are kings. Reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. John Newton said this, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. Two things I know, that I'm a great sinner, and Jesus Christ is a great Savior. And this week, to illustrate a little further, I washed the children's feet. We're talking about Noah and how God saved through water and how Jesus saved us through the waters of baptism, and then he washed our feet to show his service. It was a great gift he gave to his apostles. Do you know that the younger you are, the more willing you are to have your feet washed? If I had a bowl out here, which I did actually last Lent, I didn't have any adults take me up on that. When I had my youth group service maybe a month or two ago, I washed their feet, and it took me probably, I was expecting a 20-minute service. It took me like half an hour to convince them to let me do it. Finally, I did. I had to promise them candy, so there's a little child in all of us. But when it came to the children this week, can I wash your feet? Me first! Me! 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 And I got down and I washed their feet, all who wanted. And I said, how does this feel when I'm washing your feet? It's nice. Does it feel like something loving I'm doing to you? Yes. And I said, I'm doing this because this is the way Jesus washes our feet. He comes to cleanse us and of our sin and to love us. This is how it is in God's kingdom. And they were humble to receive a foot washing. Are you? Is this the kind of feet, will you, heart that you have, will you let Jesus come and serve you? You being a little child, he being your eldest brother, you being a little child, God being your heavenly Father who wants to welcome you in this kind of overflowing love that he has for you. He says in Isaiah 46, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who've been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. Children fell backwards just a little while ago on the promise of my words and on the promise of my character. Will you fall backwards into these words on the promise of God's word here and of his character to do what he said he will do? I've borne you from your birth, even to old age and gray hairs. I'm your God. I will carry you, and I will save. Lift me up, Daddy, and Daddy will lift you up. So children receive it as a gift. Children also have an amazing capacity from God to believe the words of those who are in authority. And it says of our faith, Romans 5, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A simple faith in an impossible word, that a man once died on the cross to save you from your sins. If you have the heart of a child, you say, it sounds impossible, but I believe it because my Father has told me so. The Bible, this I know, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And I'll tell you, it's the truth. But children have the heart and capacity to believe in a way that adults, unless your heart is nurtured, your heart will freeze. But children are tender plants, and their hearts also need to be brought to the Lord, but it seems so much easier. A couple of weeks ago, years ago, when we had the Mattingleys, Paige, Dale, and Brittany brought them home after the Scottish Highland Games Festival we had, I said, so, are you guys Christians? I was driving them to their house two blocks away. Are you guys Christians? They said, no, we're Episcopalians. So I said, really, you're Episcopalians? Well, you know what? They said, what's an Episcopalian? I said, an Episcopalian is a Christian, like we are. And let me tell you what we believe as Christians. We believe that there's a God who created all things. Do you believe that? They say, yes. I said, but we also have all sinned, done wrong. We've broken God's laws. Have you seen people do wrong things? Yeah. Well, the end of those things leads to death. And I explained it more in kids' terms. But I said, you know what God did to save us because he loves us? He sent his son to be our savior, to die on the cross, that dying our death, we might have his life and live forever and be forgiven. And they had said, I said, have you ever heard this? I said, no, we've never heard of this ever before. Do you believe this? Yes. Wow. I was like, this is a lot easier than my normal group with adults. And then I said, well, and do you know that God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you ever heard about that? No, we never heard about that. I said, well, he died on the cross. He was put into the grave. But God, in his great love, and because he was so happy for Jesus, and he loved him, he raised him up, his own son, on the third day, out of the tomb. And the angels told the women, and they saw him, and he's raised, and he'll raise us up too. Do you believe this? Yes. Yes, they believed. And to hear the children this week, to share with them about the Savior, do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Let's hear it. Yes. Do you? I can't hear you. Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Yes. See, you guys are old. Sorry. Luther said you can't teach an old dog new tricks. No. I'm getting old too, okay? But the thing is when you hear the children at VBS, do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? There is no decorum left, but unbridled joy. Yes, he is my Savior. And that pleases God. This is what God wants for us, to let our light shine like children with no inhibitions, to rejoice in him, which leads to that next point, which is where once we've believed in him and been saved, what's God require of us? Does he want us to do 1,000 carefully checked points about the rituals of religion? Does not God say in Micah chapter 6, he's told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Is Christianity complicated? Is it not a simple childlike thing that a child can grasp and understand? You're a great sinner. Jesus is a great Savior. And you love him for it. And you cling to him and walk with him. And this week, I know pastors a lot of time represent the Lord to little children, and they think he's sort of like God, or at least he's very much connected with Jesus. And I was just so touched this week at, like, several little children, Isabel and Skylar and the rest, they'd come up and just give me hugs all the time. I could hardly move, you know? It's like, and other times I felt like I was wearing two big, wet, soggy boots because I had one child tattooed to this leg, one to this one, and I'd have to pick them both up as I'm walking around. And though that may seem a little undignified to an adult, isn't this the picture of our Savior? Would Jesus love to do that? And isn't this what Jesus simply wants of us? Is that not all he wants of us? I've saved you, and now cling to my legs, hold fast to me, love me. And one of those girls, Isabel, I saw her drawing this one time. I cut it out. She said, I love Pastor. And there was the two of us there. And I said at one point, why do you hug me so much? Why do you do this? She says, because I think you're a nice pastor. That touches my heart, but isn't that what we ought to say with Jesus? Basically, he asking, already knowing the answer, why do you hug me so much? because I think you're a nice Savior. I think we could say an awesome Savior, having saved us by grace from death, the devil, and all such things, to live with him. And would you mind if I read this letter here? If not, that's okay. One of the letters, do you mind that?
My sister's there, so you can read both of them.
Okay, well, this one was really beautiful from Kay Lynn. And it's a picture here of her hands traced out. Touches me like 1,000 books. Like our smallest gifts touch the Lord with like 1,000 books. And a picture she drew. And here's one. I'll just read part of this letter that I got on the second day. To Pastor Greg, are we going to dance again? If we do dance, with me, please. And can I read the Bible and play ball? What's your middle and last name? Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says, this is what your faith is to be like with me. For the devil's an identity thief. He'll try to rob you of this identity and teach you it's unmanly or unadult of you to believe in impossible things. Well, God, Jesus said, nothing is impossible with God. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Will you believe what God has declared of you? He's made you more than conquerors. He's made you a knight. He's made you a lady. He's made you a saint, chosen and destined, but He's also made you children. And we ought to have this in an adult fashion with maturity and responsibility and with a strong faith that holds fast to the Word, but a simple, childlike faith that says, I trust your word, Father, and I trust your character and your ability to do it. If you say you'll catch me and I lean back, I will believe, trusting you without what my eyes or my mind or my reason tells me, but simply because you said it and because of who you are, I will believe. Can I give you one last example then, as we close today, of what God has done for us through the cross to make us His sons and daughters? I'll give you a special picture of what His love is for this. And I share this with the children this week. He says, I'll give you within my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. And it would look something like this. I said to them, I'm God's representative. I'm not Jesus, but I'm His representative. And God sent me here today to show you what His love looks like. And this is what it looks like. I'd ask, John, Gianna, you want to come over? Can I have a hug? Welcome, Gianna. Welcome home. Oh, wait, one second. Come here, 1 second. Oh, Gianna, you know what? I love you. I love you. I love you. Welcome home to my kingdom. And that's the picture of what our Heavenly Father said. To such belongs the kingdom. Lest you turn and become like little children, you'll never enter. But as my children, you are sons and heirs of everlasting life. Amen. Thank you, Gianna. Okay, go back to that. Okay. If you please stand. We'll confess our faith in our Father and our brother Christ and in the Holy Spirit. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus has made us children of God. So as dear children ask their dear fathers, let us now pray to our Father in heaven. Abba, Father, we thank you for making us your children through Jesus Christ, being born again, being given the power to believe and the power then to become children of God. Help us then, Lord, to live as children with a confident faith that believes that now we are holy and blameless before our God, for whom nothing is impossible, and for the strength to carry out our daily vocations in an adult world and in mature ways that please you. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us so that we may no longer be children in our faith, but tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but grow up to be into the image of your Son with still the heart of trust, humility, and love. God, grant us these things for the sake of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For hearts like Abraham's that find joy in serving God by providing for people in need, for spirits of generosity, hospitality, for the mercy work of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, for all God-pleasing charities, for those who suffer from poverty, homelessness, and hunger, that they may know the love of the Heavenly Father through us, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For a gospel zeal that strains to make Christ known with all energy, that he mightily and powerfully works in us, and for the work of the Holy Spirit, that unbelieving hearts would be turned to faith in Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For faith that rejoices in our sufferings and trusts that God is using those troubles for our good and for the good of those around us, let us pray to the Lord. For a never-ending thirst for God's word, for attentiveness like Mary's to the reading and preaching of the Scriptures, even when our minds are anxious and troubled about many things, and for God's blessing on our Sunday school, on our Bible classes, our teachers, and our vacation Bible school children, let us pray to the Lord. We lift up also the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its convention for those elected to serve, that the gospel might be proclaimed boldly and purely, that our divisions might be overcome by the truth of God's word, and that the Holy Spirit would guide our leaders, and that the Holy Trinity may be glorified in all that we say and do. Let us pray to the Lord. For our lives as God's people, that we who have earned death as the wages of our sin might hold fast to the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. We lift up to you, God, our brothers and sisters, Catherine Baker, Ann Neupel, Janet Berry, Wes Kronberger, Drew Dorsett, Irene Lawrence, Betty Duda, Iris Overby, Jeremy Dugan, Beth Lassier, Dottie Duncan, Don and Virginia Lassier, Mark and Kim L., Jessica, the Lennon the Flower families, Robert Flesh, Ernie Ortenberg, Amelia Gentry, Marge Pichel, Don Giro, Mark Prosch, Kim Green, Lucille Schmidt, Art Hansen, Sherry Stefan, Joan Jobbert, Archie Undersayer, Linda Johnson, Faith Ward. And for the comfort for the family of Tammy Enns, whose father, Robert Flesh, went home to glory, and for the family of Linda Johnson, whose sister, Catherine Flo, went home to glory. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
gifts may be. All that we have is thine alone.
Thank you. Very good. Nicely done.
Stewards true receive. Thou blessest us. To thee our first fruits give.
You've called all people to your holy mountain, and we are joyful in your house of prayer. Accept these offerings, sacrifices of praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Thanks and praise to you, Heavenly Father, for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he's destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he's restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your holy name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've had mercy on us, children of men, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you've prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that he may establish in us a living faith, and prepare us joyfully to remember our Redeemer, and receive him who comes to us in his body and blood. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take and eat, all of you, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace with each other.